This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, your body.
Yeah, I mean, usually yeah, that
the league, the body.
That kind of lines up. But like to me, it's like he was not good for the most part, with the exception of the Texans games. He was not good in the playoffs, which was counter to kind of what we saw last year, which was pretty mediocre season that was largely impacted.
Right.
After he hurt his ankle against the Vikings, and he clearly was diminished after that. But he had a fabulous playoff run. And so this year he had the one good game against the Texans, but really after that he was fairly nondescript. But I think the larger point is that the Chiefs want him back. Like, they want an answer for a reason. So the point would be, the league's not, it'd be different if the Chiefs were saying, like, hey man, like, go try free agency. Like, to me, like, that
well, I mean, if you're Peyton Manning, you retire, you obviously by this point you knew there was going to be other opportunities for you. Travis Kelce, there's definitely going to be other opportunities for him. Worst case for him is to be hired to do sports broadcasting, right? Like, worst case, he's getting hired by ESPN or Fox or somebody. That's his worst case. But otherwise, he can cross over. He's doing the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. There are other opportunities. If he breaks up with Taylor, does his opportunities dwindle? And so does he need to retire now while he is still with Taylor to take advantage of the opportunities? And he does have a different scenario than anybody else in the history of the NFL trying to decide if they're going to retire, because it is like the timing of your relationship as well.
Yeah, and my suspicion is the Swifties are making him more relevant than he is, because he has a personality that a little goes a long way. But right now he's got the Swifties behind him, and basically it's a lot like Taylor's last album, where there's one or two things that are pretty good, and then after that, you're just kind of like, eh. Like, it's, but they're just going to blindly.
Right. Fortnite, great.
Right. Yeah. They're going to blind. But Antihero. Fortnite was, nah.
Oh.
Antihero was a great song. Antihero was a banger.
Oh, that's a one of for all time best. One of the greatest.
Yeah, Antihero was a banger.
If Travis retired today, so. I think his offers in Hollywood and his opportunity list is enormous. And he just lost the Super Bowl, but he's with Taylor Swift. But now if he breaks up with Taylor Swift but wins the Super Bowl next year, then retires, does he have the same opportunities next year? Like, I don't think he does. I think he has, if he is broken up with Taylor Swift, unless it's some like amazing, because he becomes a villain for all the Swifties. And then I just think his opportunities are more limited to sports television if he breaks up with her. So, but if he retires now, he's going to have great opportunities, which could help him get to his next level. I don't think he's.
I think this is a legitimate question now. Have they reached the point of forget love? Like, are they a business relationship now? Like, are they like, they're the type of couple now where, like, it serves both of them. Like,
do you think it matters for? I don't know if it matters for her.
I think I think it has helped.
At this point, I think she's gotten what she could get out of this.
Listen, if we're talking the pie chart, I'm not even saying this is like, you know, 60-40, but I think it's made it where there's a lot of guys that now, like, you can kind of, it's allowed, she's been introduced to some football fans, and while there's been some that are like, get her off the screen, whatnot, it's like, there's been more that's been made socially and casually accepted. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think it's helped her to a small degree. It's obviously helped him.
Oh, no, it does.
To an enormous degree. It's also kind of humanized her. It's like, hey, boyfriend, see like, a supportive girl. Like, it's helped that.
It definitely has helped her. But I was like, will it continue? Like, if it ended today, does it matter? Like, I think she got what she can get out of it, which is like,
I agree with you on that. Like, I think she's probably maximized what she can. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we have had the conference commissioners of the SEC and the Big Ten. They have spoken. We will tell you what they said. We'll talk about the expanded college football playoff. Woo. We'll do all that news next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The SEC and Big Ten. All right, Kevin, we have had the, I don't know, what are we calling it? The SEC, the New Orleans Summit?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Summit, I don't know. You got anything better?
The Summit. I'm like the Summit.
Okay. We have had that, and Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports has tweeted the following. Most Big Ten and SEC athletic directors filtering out of the joint meeting declined comment on specifics about a future playoff format, but several of them expressed the expectation that the playoff will expand beyond 12 teams. Commissioners are speaking to the media soon. It then continues. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey declines to discuss particulars around any future playoff format starting in 2026, citing the fact that the SEC and Big Ten first, quote, end quote, the other commissioners their thoughts before sharing publicly. That's a nice way to say threaten. Greg Sankey and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti say they are both in favor of changing the seeding in the 2025 playoff, as they've suggested in the past. They want seeding based directly on the rankings and no automatic buys for conference champions. SEC AD and coaches did discuss the potential to moving to 9 conference games both Monday and Tuesday. Sankey says that they have not made a decision, but it does sound like several people in the room at first against 9 games are rethinking their positions. Also, hey, you guys like money? Yeah, you're going to 9 games. Sankey on thinking about the rest of college sports when making the decisions. I think this is kind of the, if you want to talk about what was the line that was written up and couched. If I was just representing the SEC, we'd still have a 4-team playoff. I mean, there's the argument, the 4-team playoff era worked largely pretty well for them.
I mean, it did. If you still had Nick Saban, you know.
Yeah, but if you think about it, okay, in the 4-team playoff era, which begins in 14, so you have Bama that wins, LSU that wins, Georgia that wins, and at least...
One of the coaches is still there.
So yeah,
Is it more of a coach situation or not?
Well, like, let's think about it. In these terms,
I mean, they were guaranteed a bid every year. I mean, you're definitely guaranteed a bid.
Yeah, I think also like they have the most examples of multiple teams in it. I think
they do, but I think it was the. Credit to the SEC and the coaches. I don't think it was the format. I don't know if it was.
I would argue this.
It can point to that.
Perception mattered, and the perception was that they were the best league and they got the benefit of every doubt. Whereas this was the first time it felt like they did not get the benefit of the doubt.
Right. It didn't look like it worked out. So the meetings are done. Are they going to reconvene? Are they going out for beignets and getting back or what's they seem to be done and they seem not to be saying much outside of the one obvious thing that we all knew, which is the seeding is going to change because the seeding did not benefit the big schools. I mean, that's the thing. It didn't make sense. I mean, we joked about it throughout the entire season that the seeding for the college football playoffs, it made sense how they laid it out, but sometimes you just got to make the rules. And so you can't practice this, right? You can't really practice this. They could have looked at previous years and tried to seed it based off a previous year. You could have gone back and probably perfected it before actually putting it into practice. But until you see it happen and unfold before your eyes, you may not see the problem. Seeding was obviously a problem.
It makes sense if you have four leagues that are relatively even. The problem was because you took the best teams from the other two leagues, the best teams from a league that doesn't exist anymore, and then you took the other two best teams, the only two teams that were really capable of competing at the national level in those leagues, and you put them into the other two leagues. You have two leagues that are roughly equal in the Big Ten and the SEC, and then you had the ACC, the Big 12, and then the G5, which were much closer, but you were granting status to two leagues that probably didn't deserve it. So what's next?
But they're not telling us anything else. Yeah.
So I think it's fair to ask this, though. What's next is they're clearly going to go apply pressure to the other leagues. And so the reason why I believe that you saw the ACC and the Big 12 in the new proposed 14-team playoff getting two automatic bids rather than probably one, which kind of they deserve, you need support for what you're trying to do. And so you're giving them an extra bid to get them to go along with what you want, because if I'm the Big 12 commissioner, I'm the ACC commissioner, why would I vote to change the playoff for this year?
You wouldn't. But so, after this year, they have full creative control, don't they? I mean, we have
correct,
Big Ten and the SEC following this season can do whatever they want.
Right, but you still have, like, it's the classic, you can still control today. So if you know they're going to have, it doesn't change no matter what. They're having full creative control next year. So
the only thing they have to really got to follow is they have to let Notre Dame in. If Notre Dame is within the numbers, they have to let in one group of five team until like 2031 or something, and they can change the rules and that's where it impacts Memphis. And with all this changing, I look at it from the Memphis perspective, and obviously the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have like that influence, right? They can influence possibly, try to bully around. I don't think it makes any sense for them. Maybe you can tell me if it would make any sense for the Big Ten or the SEC at this point today to try to change next year when they know with the next year they can do whatever they want because they have the power. Those two conferences now get to decide the future together after this year. So why can they just get through this year without trying to lose any goodwill with any of these conferences or fans out there that already don't think very highly?
Well, so this is the prisoner's dilemma that I think Sankey is in. If you're the Big Ten commissioner, Tony Petitti, do you really want to change anything? I mean, this worked out.
It was great.
This worked out for you. And I got four teams in. So if I'm Tony Petitti and Greg's coming into my office saying, we got to do something about this, I'm sitting there thinking, do we? Or do you need to do something about this? Because
it's all fixable on the field. Like, I feel like it just happened to fall in the year that the SEC was a certain. I feel like in future years, it's not going to be a problem. If you expand this playoff to 12, or if you expand it to the 14 or 16, right? We're looking at that. The SEC is going to be involved. The SEC is going to have more teams by default in these playoffs.
I guess this is where I push back. I am not as convinced. Like, for once upon a time, for most of the 14 playoff era, and really honestly the BCS to the 14 playoff era, basically ever since Mike Slive got in there and said, stop turning each other in for cheating and you bring it to me, we'll handle it. Let's stop having everybody on probation every 4 years and just rotating who goes on probation. This serves none of us. So basically, since you have that moment in time, I've always said whoever the best team is in the SEC, I would ride with that team. Doesn't mean I batted 1,000, but I had a pretty good batting average. I now think, though, what you have in the SEC is you've added, number one, perhaps the wealthiest program in the entire country in Texas. And you've also added another program that's capable of maxing out at a pretty high level in Oklahoma. And you've created a league where, whether or not it's true, almost every team believes if they spend enough money, they can win in football. And so what you've created is, I mean, for God's sakes, Kevin, Vanderbilt's even playing the game. I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and so really what you have is the only school that I like kind of question, what are they doing, is Mississippi State. So you have a 16-team league, and basically 15 of them are trying to win. And so when you compare it to the
They're all trying, but it's some of them just not. Well, let me phrase it.
They're spending. They're spending to win.
Right, they're spending. There you go.
Right, and to me, like that's what this all boils down to. So
you got to have the money to spend it, and that's part of the problem, probably with Mississippi State. But
like, do I think? I mean, this happens like in the Big Ten. I don't think all the schools are trying to compete in football. I don't think Purdue's playing the same game that Ohio State is.
Right, like. Right.
And like, while
you're correct.
And so now what you've done is you have, by bringing it above board, you've kind of brought the top of the SEC down and everybody else has been kind of smushed. And so you've had it kind of flattened. And so what I do think is actually true is I think it's harder to win in the SEC than it is to win in the Big Ten. But
and it's going to be even harder if they add a conference game, which they seem to be doing.
Correct. And so the idea would be there's no one that was making that point for them. Like, I guess this is kind of how I look at it. If Ole Miss and Indiana were to play the weekend after, they would have played instead of, if Ole Miss and Indiana played the playoff weekend, the opening weekend, I think Ole Miss would have largely done the same thing to them that Notre Dame did. With that said, that was not what we agreed to. What we agreed to is it was going to get judged by the criteria that was laid out, and by that same criteria, I do think they got the right teams in. I did not think an 11-1 team, no matter how weak their out-of-conference schedule was or how well the schedule worked in their favor, I did not think that was going to impact them. Like, they were getting in. And so,
right, based off of what we have, I guess it is, a lot of the rules are structured that these conferences are equal even when they're not, and now they're getting rewritten to show that they're not necessarily as equal, but they're still giving a lot of credence to these other conferences in whatever the new schedule is. I just look at it. I just feel, Jeffrey, I know it's hard to win in the SEC. All three teams on the bubble, the best teams that didn't make the playoffs this year, they were all SEC teams. They were right there. There was Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina. Like, if any of those games against each other would have gone a little bit differently, that other team would have been in. Like, it just, the way it fell was a little bit more random than usual. And the teams that were usually more dominant, they weren't this year. And so we had right outside.
I guess this is my point to you on that is, I don't know if last year was an outlier. I think
last
year
that's going to happen every year,
because I think what I just laid out, like, to me, this is very similar. This is very similar, like Sankey always points to European soccer. But essentially, what they've done is they've built the EPL. It's the league that is the richest league, but the teams are all, like, they're all pretty capable of beating one another. Like, you have the teams at the bottom, but they've got a lot. Whereas if you look at, like, the Spanish league, okay, it's basically always been Barcelona and Real Madrid. Like, Atletico Madrid's kind of like popped its head up and made it, but the rest of the league just kind of is there to fill out the schedule. And kind of the same thing when you look at like the German league. While Bayern Munich is not as dominant as they once were, but it's like Bayern Munich was dominating the entire German league, the Bundesliga. And so now in the SEC, if we are accepting that all these schools are going to be insane about winning, which I think has been proven, it's going to be a lot. there's going to be more opportunities for losses.
It's just, it gets, I mean, and we might agree more than we don't on some of this. I see what you're saying. I do believe, yes, but if you had Nick Saban at Alabama, I don't think you'd be saying that. And I know he's not there, but you would.
No, I do, because in the end, I think Nick left for a reason. I think he knew you can't make more rich people.
Okay, I was just saying, if this was happening 5 years ago, then maybe is what would be more of a argument. They didn't need it 5 years ago. Why do they need it now? Is it just because of who the leadership is, or is it because
it's been brought above board, and now I'm not saying Michigan and Ohio State weren't capable of playing the game in the below the table era, but now what you have done is Larry Ellison, who doesn't give two craps about football, all of a sudden his young second wife, who went to Michigan with Mark, all of a sudden she watches them go 7-5, is like, this sucks, I want a quarterback, and they go and they spend $15 million on quarterback. And so there's other schools out there that are going to have way more rich people, and if they start to tap in a world, Larry Ellison's never going to do that in an under-the-table world. 0% chance. But now that it's like legal, who cares? You know what I mean?
I understand. But I just feel like the SEC, there's that obviously a bias for and against the SEC, depending on what side you're on. And I'm more so on the side of the SEC. I do think it is the best.
The SEC is always going to have the inherent advantage that the best players largely come from their footprint. That's always going to be an unbelievable advantage.
But like to give them, and which their plan is to give themselves guaranteed four spot, like they would have a built-in written down advantage over like a curve, if you will, like a grading curve, like that they get it, like just if their team, I just don't think it should be written down that you're guaranteed. You need to do something to prove it. But the idea that we're going to write down and guarantee four from your conference, but only two from these other ones is, it's a little too much. It's a little too much because there's an obviously written down in the rule book biases for the SEC it's so hard here that we need an advantage that is part of the rules of how this works.
Yeah, and like
it's better if it's unspoken is what I'm saying. Like it was better like SEC they get in because it's an unspoken bias.
I guess though this is the only pushback I would have to that. I think I'd rather see a format in which, all right, we know, because this is how the Champions League works. We know the EPL is getting four teams. The Bundesliga is getting four. La Liga is getting three. Like we know how many they're getting. Now, the difference is that is the number of teams you get in is not because it was written down EPL gets four teams. It's based on the performance of the league. Like, UEFA comes out with a coefficient like, okay, based on your performance, you get this many teams. So that's at least competitive. But I think I would rather have a scenario where you know what the score is. You've got to get to one of these spots rather than just having a playoff committee of people just cashing in American Airlines and Hilton points, like just declaring, all right, we think that team's good.
True, I guess. But I wonder how it's going to change the debate. And that's never, none of the decisions should change how we think we're going to argue throughout the season, because the past season was so much fun and it was different than how it's ever been done before. But knowing that four get in is guaranteed, no matter, you know, is a little bit.
No, I mean,
we won't know until we see it.
I think the other
start guaranteeing home field like this SEC. If I'm the SEC, I want guaranteed home field more so than I want some of this other stuff.
That's coming
because like we saw the it's coming because the home field advantage is that's the key.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some Grizzlies. Maybe we'll pick CJ's brain. We'll get the Big Ten guy's thoughts. The Big Ten guy that grew up in SEC country. We'll get his thoughts on this as well. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bit of a scheduling update. Having some communications problems with CJ Hurd. If he can join us, he will. But before we do that, we'll get into a story we were going to get into during the list, but the playoff talk consumed us all, which that's fine because I feel like I could probably talk about it. Because I think in general, we can all safely say this. The 12-team format is significantly better than the 4-team format. And
100%.
I don't think moving it to 14 is going to structurally change anything. And I guess where I've netted out is I've always thought that this was really the Big Ten and the SEC's party to begin with. I mean, they're honestly keeping the same G5 access that you had before. They're giving more access. Potentially more guaranteed.
They have to keep the G5 access until a certain year based on the agreement. So that that they made, you know, this
right.
big agreement they made with Notre Dame, all the conferences, all the major conferences getting together. So they have to do that. They don't have to do it beyond a certain year in the 2030s, though. So
I think where I kind of net out, though, is I'd like to take power out of a committee's hands. And this kind of does that.
I like that. And also, if you're a Memphis fan, you're at least guaranteed that chance to play for a spot.
You're not getting any worse. You're not getting a worse chance.
It doesn't impact Memphis whatsoever.
Right.
So I think chaos and confusion and disruptions among the big conferences could only be great news for the Tigers. So, like, if the news comes out, it's like, man, the SEC, the Big Ten, they're really overreaching and asking for too much stuff, and we can't do anything about it because we already agreed to let them do what they wanted to do. That could upset some other conferences or other teams say, hey, maybe it's time for me to join up with one of these other big conferences and open the door that for Memphis to make it to the ACC or somewhere else. So that there's a chance. It could be, it's all great news or not impactful news from a Memphis football perspective. So if you're a Memphis fan, just watch it. We're watching it from the outside really right now.
But another topic near and dear to both of our hearts is airports around the country, logistics. And you said you've got a story for me about the Memphis airport.
Well, there's so much been, about in the news about airplanes and travel and stuff. So today, I saw in the commercial appeal, the Memphis airport putting out statistics here.
All right.
It's because about what's been going on at the airport. They're planning the next phase, right, which is they're going to remodel the ticketing area, and some of the drive up to it is going to be
and baggage claim, right?
Next few years. Yeah, I guess baggage claim is included, which is definitely necessary. When I was reading this article, I was flipping through some, they have a photo gallery, right? And there was a picture of Jerry Lee Lewis from 1982. Wow. It was like 1982 picture of Jerry Lee Lewis standing at the airport, and it was obvious that he was in the ticketing area, and it looks exactly the same as it does right now.
Yep.
So it's like, all right, we might need to update it here if it's been over 40 years and it still looks exactly the same. If it wasn't Jerry Lee Lewis in the picture, replace it with Justin Timberlake standing in that same spot and it would look exactly the same. But so they're doing, so the article is mostly about that, and they're comparing this. So I thought, okay, this would be a good warm up for Jeffrey here for Writer Than Right trivia. Right. See how he does, how everything compares. So obviously we know flights, they've increased, right? At the airport, have increased recently. How many do you think more flights this year than in 2024 than they had in 2023? What number would you guess that on?
So, are we saying per day or per 360?
Total flights. I'll just go and tell you the number. They had 48,848 total scheduled flights in 2024.
I think we're around 70 flights per day. Isn't that right?
Something, yeah. It didn't say that the exact number per day, but 848 was the number of flights for the year that were scheduled to depart from Memphis International. Passenger flights, of course. That is up how many? More or less, Jeffrey? Is that up more or less than 500 flights?
Oh, I'm going to say it's up more than 500 flights.
That's just less. It's only an increase, okay, a year over increase of 283 right, flights. So not that much interesting. Obviously, Memphis does great on the cargo handling, which has gone down, though. Which is interesting.
I think it's because FedEx lost the U.S. postal contract.
Yeah, that decreased 2.27%. Memphis, though, remains the busiest cargo airport in North America, the second busiest in the world. But what was interesting to me about this article was the favorites from the food, because the airport remodel, it's always amazing. It's fun. It's a great experience now when you go fly out of Memphis International.
The bouncy moving sidewalks.
Right. Those elevated moving sidewalks. Yeah. But
it's like, this is what it feels like to feel tall.
We love airports.
Oh, yeah.
We love food. Let's see if you can guess what the winner is. And I'm curious to see if you would have chosen something different, your personal self. So favorite sub at Liddy's Grill and Sub. So this is the statistics released by the airport on the most popular sub ordered at the Liddy's Grill and Sub at Memphis International Airport.
All right. I'm going to go with number 5, the All-American. Or the club sub.
Club sub, you think, is the most popular?
Yeah.
It is not.
All right, let me use my 50-50. Is it the Philly cheesesteak?
It is the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah. That was
it does. I love the Philly cheese from Lenny's, and it seems like folks are doing their research before.
You gotta ask for it though. I don't like the Philly cheesesteak with the American cheese. You have to ask them to put provolone on it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But and I have definitely ordered the Philly cheesesteak at the Memphis airport before and after the construction. Lenny's local, somewhat, not really anymore, but of course
founded originally was.
And Bartlett, it's owned by somebody else now, but it's not everywhere, and it's one of those underrated. I don't know if we take advantage of the fact that we have Lenny's. Lenny's is a great chain to have.
One of the things the pandemic took from us is Lenny's. I know they brought back their own chips, but let's be real, they're not the Brim's chips anymore. Like Lenny's used
they're
to
not.
Have.
So nah. They don't.
Nah.
The Lenny's, I have not tried the returned Lenny's chips yet, but I do love a Lenny's Philly cheese. All right, top appetizers at Chili's. You can't forget, I've not eaten at the Memphis airport Chili's. It's
so the triple dipper doesn't count. It's one app.
Oh, it does count. It does count.
Okay, I'm going to say
on the list. There was a tie. It was a tie.
All right, so I'm going to say it's a tie between the triple dipper and the queso.
No, it was not the queso. Is that what you would go with? So the triple dipper, what's involved with that?
Southwest spring rolls. I think it's Southwest spring rolls, the chicken crispers. Are skins in there?
Yeah, you get three things. The other, but none of those.
Oh, yeah, you have options.
What?
You have options. So sliders, wings, it's you get to pick three.
Right, it's a pick three. Well, the other appetizer, I mean, what's the appetizer? A lot of people order everywhere. That everywhere has this appetizer, not just in Memphis, but anywhere. Everybody somehow has this on their menu as an appetizer.
Cheese sticks.
Yep, mozzarella sticks. Yes, mozzarella sticks is the other one. So, I mean, that makes sense. Yes, if you're airport Chili's, if that's. They do not have Chick-fil-A on here, which is interesting, but they do have the Starbucks, top Starbucks drinks.
Oh, God, I don't even know.
Drip coffee, obviously, right?
Yeah, I would think just for speed, right? Because you're there, like, you just want to get in and out.
But they do have a blonde latte.
Yeah, the blonde vanilla, or it's the iced blonde.
What type of mocha do you think would be on the top list? They got four drinks they're listing. Here's the top drinks at Starbucks at Memphis mocha. International Airport. It's a white mocha.
Yeah. Sweeter.
A white mocha.
Caramel.
And then the caramel macchiato.
Yeah.
Which I think is one people just know the name and go for. So those are your top Starbucks drinks. Most ordered brews and bites at Memphis Made and the Grizz Grill. The Grizz Grill. So they're kind of like, how would you describe those? If you're Memphis International, they're like restaurants you go into. They're like kiosks, but not kiosks.
Yeah, they're just part of the terminal with like overhead, with like awnings.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a kiosk, but not. Anyway, Memphis Made beers.
Fireside.
I mean, we want Fireside and Catnap IPA. Of course, IPA, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But did you know that they... both the Memphis Made Grill and the Grizz Grill serve like a same food item? I've never eaten at either one of these.
So we did it one of the last trips. I think our Denver trip, my wife made us get there 8 hours early, and we hung out. Is it the same menu, or is it you saying there's one item that's the same?
There's one item they both have. I looked this up today. I was like, I didn't even know they had this. And I'm like, is it at both? And it is at both.
Is it some type
of... And it's one that I think should be advertised more, and there should be some signage.
Is it some type of barbecue sandwich?
Yes, it is a barbecue sandwich. Yeah. Do you know who's there? Because we used to be Interstate, of course.
So Neely's used to be in there, too.
Yeah.
Is it Corky's now?
It is Corky's now. Corky's pulled pork sandwich. So you can get barbecue, but I did not realize that. I figured you'd have a Corky sign hanging up at these, like a neon sign from Corky's, but not
get Corky's
sure why
here.
Not. But anyway.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Kevin, for days, don't tell these story, tell your story. We got to go to Coach Mick Cronin out at UCLA. After his team blew a 17-point lead, which was culminated with a 5-for-15 stretch at the free throw line during the second half, here was what Mick had to say about the game. All we're worried about is our shooting. Our crowd's mind is on the wrong stuff. They make it worse. The stress in Pauly is crazy. How about help the guy? Cheer for the guy. He's not trying to miss the free throw. Everybody's mind's on the wrong stuff. So again, had nothing to do with, you know, allowing in a, I think it was a 14-2 run to close out the game and allowing a team that trailed for 37 minutes to win the game. All about the crowd. Crowd's got to be better. Kevin will be back with us tomorrow on the Jeff Calkins Show for Writer Than Right. Trivia, if you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.